Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor.
Good morning. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available to him for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." I need to hear a little bit more. "And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Been looking at Mary's life all throughout the Advent season, and Mary's part in this particular passage of scripture does not have a whole lot of sentence structure around it, but obviously she just birthed the Messiah, so let's just take a minute and take that in. As this teenage mom brought in this child into the world that was the savior of the world, it was more than just, there's a baby in a manger, Mary put some serious time into this. And so with that, I just want to say today's word is love. And so each week we've been going through different aspects of the way we could look at the words, the life, the testimony of Mary, and begin to find strength by looking at somebody that's flesh and blood like you and I, and seeing how they've walked this life and carried these attributes with them. And so today, how do we live with love? So let's take a minute. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that this wouldn't just be the manger scene, that this would be a moment for Mary to continue to show us what keeping love in our life looks like. So Father, as we are moments away from the chaos and the joy and the excitement and the sleeplessness Father, I just pray that we would not lose sight of Christ. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. So verse 19, so depending on the translation, it goes something like this. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So can I just say to you guys, like if you zone out for the rest of the teaching, let me just let you know that the point of us keeping love front and center is us learning to treasure up Jesus. Now, we can do that no matter what our circumstances are. We can treasure him up. Now, adding a little bit extra colorfulness to this morning for us so that it might resonate with all of us where we are, I love this quote from Anne Voskamp. She said this in a writing she did calling Unwrapping the Greatest Gift. This is just a small excerpt from that beautiful writing. She said this, Christmas cannot be bought in a store. Christmas cannot be created in the kitchen. Christmas cannot be made by hand, lit up, set out, dreamed up. Christmas can only be found right there in the manger. Richard Rohr actually says this, and this is, I want to tie these two things together. He said this, healthy religion is the very word religio, thank you. My tongue was tied, which means rebinding. Indicates this is the task of putting our divided realities back together. We have a few words from Richard, but you might have your own. Listen to this. Human and divine, male and female, heaven and earth, sin and salvation, mistake and glory. So the point of Jesus coming is not what we get at the store and is not our favorite cookies and is not the wrapping paper and the lights, even though they can bring us towards Christ. And Richard Rohr is saying, listen, the point of religion is for us to realize that God is trying to bind it all back together. Like, there's things that are broken. Things that should be one are now two. And things that should be one are now seven, eight, nine shattered. It's like my wife the other day, I don't know where the cup came from, but there was a cup that we were trying to salvage, and because they show on TV that Gorilla Glue can put mugs back together, she asked me to put this particular coffee mug back together. Now, it held water all day yesterday, but yet it doesn't necessarily look the same, right? It has scars. It doesn't look like the commercial, and I don't think it's because I did a bad job. I think it's because in the commercial, they can Photoshop things and make it look better. But the point of us looking at this Christmas story is what I believe comes into an illustration that I heard N.T. Wright use for the first time. Have you ever tried to point a dog in a direction? Do you understand the frustration of what that really looks like? So imagine a dog in front of me, and I'm like, oh, look at Andre. Where does the dog normally look at your finger? So you're like, no, look. And the dog's like, you know, following the finger. And so you can say all you want to. You can even get the dog looking this way and like, look down. Like you can take a small child and say, look down my finger. And oh, yeah, look, there's grandma, grandpa coming. Like, okay, like you can show them. But if it's a dog, it's just wherever the fingertip goes, that's where the dog's eyes go. And if I'll tell you that, that's probably a better analogy for where we are in our faith, because a lot of us only look at the finger rather than what the finger's pointing towards. And so the story of Christmas is laced with objects that are the finger. And I believe culturally we're getting lost at looking at the object that's pointing rather than looking at what the object is pointing towards. And so what I found is that Mary, when she's pondering Jesus up in her heart, has found what the finger is pointing towards. And she's treasuring that up in her life. But yet we find, which is quite an interesting thing in Luke's telling, three times we hear that Jesus is in a what? A manger. And that the shepherds are told, go and look for the baby that's in a manger, and then you'll find the baby in a manger, and they found the baby in a manger. Like, it's like we get this manger over and over and over and over, and like, what was the significance of this being said three times? And I believe that the significance was is that there were more than one baby in Bethlehem. And the only way they were going to know what the angels were announcing to them was to go and see what the manger was pointing towards. The manger was going to be the key object that was going to be the pointing towards this announcement that Christ had been born. It was a signpost, for lack of a better way of putting it. Now, mind you, I've noticed that there are signs all over Baltimore, and that doesn't mean anything. There's been so many moments where there's people with New Jersey license plates or New York license plates or Wisconsin license plates that I found in the city that do not know how to read the signs of Baltimore. Now, they might be rental cars. They might be Hopkins, stressed out, med majors, you know, but all I know is that that one-way sign means one way no matter what state you're in. That this direction or this big illuminated sign saying Inner Harbor welcomes you that comes up to you and says, where's the Inner Harbor? You're like, there's so many things that we've learned to see to know where we're going, but many times in our faith, we're not seeing what the signs are pointing towards. So therefore, because we're not looking at what the sign's pointing towards, one of the first things to go in moments of distress is our ability to love. I was overwhelmed the other day when I was out doing some Christmas shopping, watching the elderly try to navigate the store that's filled with people that look like us. The impatience of the younger group of people around our senior members. And I literally fought tears back in my mind, in my eyes. Like, I literally am fighting back tears because I'm sitting here thinking we've totally lost our ability to love and relate to people that are different from us. And a lot of times it's, if somebody's in my way, they're just in my way, and it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in their life. Has nothing to do with what they might be feeling or experiencing, not knowing that that particular person at that particular age may have lost nearly half of the people in their life that they used to celebrate Christmas with. You know, and the emotions and the feelings of what could be going on in somebody else. And the only way we're going to keep love at the forefront is if we pull into Target, take a deep breath and ponder in our heart the gift of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the only ways that you and I are going to be able to find that we can actually move forward in this. The other thing that I love is Christmas lights. Now, Christmas Eve is generally a time where we focus on candle lighting and we focus on the lights of Christmas. And I kind of want to bring a little bit of that together here. And there are some beautiful places in Baltimore to see lights. I've seen some of you post pictures from 34th Street. I think Rogers Forge lights were on the Today Show this week. And there's other places in and around our community where lights are beautiful. But there's places all around the world, like Oxford Street in London, the Canyon Road Walk in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Salerno, Italy, and Amsterdam, and Copenhagen, Denmark, and the Symphony of Lights in Hong Kong. Like, there's even this floating Christmas tree in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Like, there are some beautiful places where at Christmas time, they drop some serious money on lights. But one of the best places to go to see Christmas lights is New York City. And my family's had the privilege of going to New York City and seeing Christmas lights on more than one occasion. It's been a real treasure. But Fifth Avenue, the Rockefeller Center, and that Saks Fifth Avenue store that they light the front and they have it choreographed to music. And now, I'm not a music person, like most of you know this. Like, music can be playing and I have no idea what the song is. But one particular time that we were standing there, if you ever experience the lights, the audience around that area of New York is crushing. Like, when we were there one time with our children when they were much smaller than they are now, and I had my son on my shoulders carrying him, my daughter had the two belt loops on my pants, and unfortunately, she was tall enough that the only thing she basically saw was my backside. But she was holding on like this, and my wife was right against her, and we just moved through the crowd like this because we were sitting here thinking, we are going to die. That's how tight the crowd was. But everybody was just jaw-dropped. Like, their jaws were, like, just standing, looking at the bazillion light bulbs. And then when you get to Saks Fifth Avenue, not only do they have the lights choreographed to music, they have it attached to probably the largest sound system you've ever heard. And, like, everything is just reverberating with sound. And the building is just going to the music. And one of the particular songs that was playing without words, these are the lyrics that had New York stopped. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love, melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Now, there were people singing. My wife was one of them because she knew the song, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's what that is, right? But yet, the light isn't the point. It's a signpost to the point, which was the child that was in the manger that was drawing the kingdom of God into a conflict with the kingdom of the world. And because of that, we now live in the fight, waiting for Jesus to come back and it all to be over. So he came as a baby, which seemed to be weak and impossible, to wage a global fight against sin and death for us, that we now get invited in. Come back Easter time, we'll talk more about it. We get invited into this epic fight until Jesus comes back. And the only way we maintain love through the war is if we learn, like Mary, to ponder up Jesus. Because this world is going to try to get our eyes off of Jesus and get our eyes onto things. Not just mangers. I mean, I don't know how we got all these animals involved in the manger scene because Luke really doesn't talk about them. But because we use that language, we automatically assume camels and donkeys and all these other things that appear. But Mary and Joseph and the baby were there because an angel with bright lights was saying, the point is the child. The signs of a new kingdom coming. The signs of a God who was going to literally give his life up on a cross to save us from our sins. So all the Christmas lights everywhere that are lit, whether it's the simplicity of our tree or the complexity of yours, is to announce that the revolution of Christ has begun. They're not just to adorn our trees. It's not just to make everything look good. They're a signpost pointing towards Christ. And so today I brought the Christ candle down next to me. And as I finish my teaching, I want to invite some of you that really are in a place where you need to ponder in your heart Christ. I would like for you to be the first to come up and light your candle. And then I would like for you then to share that light with others. Because many of us, and that's an invitation for anybody at any moment to come now. The moment for us, though, is that we aren't taking time to sit with the light. So I'm guessing all of you are good. Like, your faith is strong. Your moment with Christ is good. You don't need any light in your life. Thank you. And so I would just ask you guys are careful as you do pass this light. Pass it to somebody else. Because the light is supposed to be passed. If you are allowing one of your children to hold that light, if they could keep it straight up and down, that would be great. And so carry the light to somebody else. But Mary was treasuring this up in her heart. And generally in church, when we have a candle lighting moment, these are some of the words that are generally associated with this. Listen to this as you're lighting each other's candle. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels, let us sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. The point of everything that we've talked about through this Advent season is the fact that Jesus is where we must set our eyes. We can't let our eyes get focused on other things, but it is in that moment. So I just want to give you some minute. I'm just going to count to like 20 in my head, not out loud. But I just want you with this light to just take a minute and say, I want to treasure up in my heart Christ just for a moment. Let's do this together. Sometimes it's hard for us when we're outside of this space, when the disruptions come, to maintain his redeeming grace. So I just want to encourage us, as we take a minute with these candle lights, to treasure up in our heart the fact that Jesus came to us in a shocking way, to bring peace, to bring joy, to bring love that transforms us. And the only way we're going to get through the darkness is if we allow the light to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. May we continue to encourage one another to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So how do we love all year long? By following Mary's example and treasuring up the gift of Christ to us. Father, right now as we sing, Father, as we bring this Advent to an end and the Christmas time begins, Father, I ask that we stay in the light so that we can see Christ with us. Father, the darkness is coming after us with force. And it wants to snuff out our light. Father, I pray that we help one another continue to let the light of Christ burn in us. Father, I pray for those that that have had a disproportionate amount of pain in this world heaped at them. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that the hope, the joy, the love, the life of Christ would be a true gift for them this Christmas. Father, I thank you for conquering our sin. I thank you for conquering death. And Father, we pray that we can keep our eyes fixed and that we give each other permission to share our lives, but also our hope. And so, Lord, I ask that over these next several days, because of Jesus, we would get lost in his love and that we'd become like him in love. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.